Welcome to the Bethany Hour. This is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Luke. Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again looking into the book of Luke. Those of you who have been following along with us, open to chapter 21. We're going to pick it up in verse number 29. Here Jesus is talking about the coming of the Son of Man. He talks about all the things that happens in the earth and the sky, and there'll be all kinds of terror that are coming upon the earth. Kind of sound a little bit like what's happening today.
You know, it definitely does. These are the signs of the ends of the age. It definitely feels like we're entering into these moments that Jesus was talking about here.
Yeah, he talks about all these things happening, and he says when they begin, you begin to see them happening, then he says, get ready because your redemption draweth nigh, which means that Jesus is coming back again. Yeah. And so he's going to talk a little bit about signs of the times, about maybe give us a parable, because that's what he's doing in verse 29. He says, he told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. So he gave them a whole bunch of signs beforehand, and he's telling you, look, the same thing happens in nature. When you see the fig tree putting out leaves and you see all the other trees beginning to sprout leaves, then you know that summer's close. Spring is springing and summer is really close.
Right. Yeah. You know, he says it's going to be, how I interpret that is it's going to be obvious. You know.
No doubt.
When the trees bud, when the leaves form, hey, it's summer, you know, winter's over. So it's obvious. It's an obvious thing. And when you see these things that he just listed for us back in the, you know, first part of Luke 21, he says, as you see these things happening, nation rising against nation, kingdom against kingdom, famines, pestilence, earthquakes, all of this stuff. And, you know, I've heard the increase in earthquakes is just going off the charts each year. There's so many more earthquakes than what we used to, you know, experience. All of these things are pointing to the return of Christ.
Yeah, it is. You know, and people throughout history obviously have been looking for the coming of the Lord. Sure. And there have been events that they said were signs of the times too. When you talk about the world wars, you talk about all the different things, about the nuclear age, now you can bring destruction upon the whole earth. So there have been plenty of things, but one of the key things for people who do biblical research on this and a little scholarly understanding is the actual birth of a nation 48 years, 1948, when Israel was born as a nation for the first time. It just became a nation after it had been destroyed for thousands of years.
Right, yeah.
And so that's a big sign right there. And, you know, they are getting ready to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. It's going to be, if they build that up, it's certainly, the Arabs are going to take notice of that.
Oh,
and there's going to be some big things happening lately. But keep your eye on Israel, because as Israel goes, so goes the world right now.
You know what? It's so amazing to me. When you think about religion and religions, obviously, you know, the three major ones in the world, Christianity, Jewish, and Muslim, all formed in and around that area.
Yeah.
They're all have a hold on Jerusalem.
They
all
do.
Claim Jerusalem as a holy city. I follow on Twitter the Jerusalem Post, which is a major news organization in Jerusalem. And so many things have been, they kind of keep me up to date with what's going on there between the Palestinians and the Israelis and all of the tension that is there. And like you said, the focus on the Western Wall, the Temple Mount, is so poignant. And it's like, here it is again. You know, you think of every place in the world you can go, and yet it all seems to revolve around Israel.
Yeah. The three major religions, like you mentioned, do focus with Israel and Jerusalem. You know, we know of Christianity, of course, because of Christ himself, and we also know with the Jewish religion, we know that how important Israel is throughout its history with King David and with the temple and everything else. This is God's chosen place, and this is a place where Muhammad took his midnight ride, they call it, into heaven. And so for the Muslims, it's a very sacred area too. So it is a point of conflict between at least between Muslims and Christians and Muslims and Jewish people. There's a conflict. I think there's a little more between the Jewish religion and the Christian religion. I think there's a little more compatibility there.
Right.
But generally, there is a conflict there. So when you see all these things happening, Israel, you see what's happening there, you take a look at what's happening in the world, like we talked about, all these terror that's coming upon the earth, and all, like you mentioned, clouds and earthquakes and everything else that's happening is pointing to the coming of the Lord. So he says, I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, that's an interesting and a difficult challenge sometimes, because is he talking about the particular generation that he's speaking to at this time with the disciples themselves?
Yeah.
Or is he talking about the generation that sees all these things happening? you know, and so
it's a tough verse to try to interpret to understand. Okay, well, some of these things, you know, that he talked about happened, and they saw the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD.
Yeah.
But then some of these other things he talked about here in Luke 21 are thousands of years away, 2,000 years away, and some of this stuff still hasn't happened. So a generation, their generation, saw some things happen, and they passed away, but there are still some other things that are happening. So, yeah, that's a tough verse to try to understand, but I think when you look at the whole context of the scripture, it is talking about, okay, we see this happening. Oh, okay. And you know, so it's kind of unfolding over time.
Yeah, prophecy is like that. I mean, it can be, and you can see prophetic word that takes place now, but it's also taking place in the future. And I know a lot of prophecy teachers tell you, well, take a look at two mountains. If you look at two mountain ranges, and if you see them from far away, they look really close together. One mountain peak, and then the next mountain peak looks like it's right there. But there is a huge vastness in between the two mountain tips. And so that's kind of what this is like, that, like you mentioned, some of these things did happen at the time of Christ for this first generation. But it's also pointing to the time that's coming when the end of time comes, when we see all these things coming again. And then he goes on and he says that not a generation is going to pass away. This generation will not pass away until all these things happen on the earth, and heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Now, that's a powerful scripture because we point to that. Heaven and earth can pass away. God created the heavens. He created the earth. And so they can all pass away, but his words are never going to pass away. That's a powerful, powerful force, because a lot of times we live in the concrete. We live with the idea of the earth and what is so here and now. But here he's saying God's words are even more permanent than what we can see and feel and touch.
You know, it's phenomenal to us because we use our sense of sight.
All
we look
the time.
Around and we see the grass, the green grass, the blue skies, the, you know, the clouds. And then at night you see the stars in the heavens, and you're like, nothing will ever be able to destroy the vastness of the universe. And here God says, you know what? All of that could be gone.
Could be gone.
All of that will pass away. He says heaven and earth will pass away. He's making a prophetic statement that one day it will pass away. And we know what he's talking about, because there's going to be a renewing, a recreation of heaven and earth, a new heavens and a new earth. But he says, my words will never pass away. What I have spoken to you the truth, and that truth is going to come true. And I'm a God who keeps my word.
And it's really hard for us to understand, because we live, like you say, in a touch, feel type of world, and we see everything in front of us. So we see people passing away, and we have this thing that, well, maybe the earth's going to pass away, so we got to find another planet to live on. You know, that's what we're kind of shooting at, even though it might take a million years.
Yeah.
But here's something that God is saying. His words will never, ever pass away. So that's pretty powerful. And I would think that this would make us focus on what is really important.
Yeah.
What is really important? The things of the earth, or are they really his words? Are they more important than things you can touch and feel? And I think that that's what happens is if you put God first and put his words first, you'll find that all these other things are added to you.
Yeah, one of the first things Jesus said when he was confronted by the devil himself in the desert was, you know, turn these rocks into bread. And Jesus looked at him and said, you know, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. There is life in that word that comes out of God's mouth. And I think when the Holy Spirit gives us faith to receive that word, to hear, to open up this book we call the Bible and read it, and the Holy Spirit brings illumination to the word of God, it does something to us. But there's so many people who unfortunately are still living under that veil, and they just haven't connected with the God who created this book and who has spoken life to them, and they've chosen death.
Yeah, but he really wants to speak to your heart.
Amen.
He wants to speak to your life. So that's the key. That's one of the reasons why we get up every morning, is to help you to understand that God loves you, and he really wants to speak to you and talk to you. And so he wants you to live with him forever. And that's really the key.
Amen.
So he says, be careful, he says, or your heart, they're going to be weighed down. Your heart's going to be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly like a trap.
Mm.
Wow.
You know, the mindset that we live in today, right now, there seems to be so much anxiety in the world. There seems to be so much drunkenness in a real sense, and then there seems to be so much confusion and distrust and all of these, and things have just gotten, in my opinion, in the 50 years that I've lived, more ramped up today. There seems to be a whole lot more tension, animosity, anxiety, fears, doubts, you know, all of this stuff. He says, if you're not careful, that's what's going to happen to your heart. Your hearts are going to get flooded with all this stuff that just cause you great despair. And he says, the moment that I've been talking about, I'm telling you what's going to happen, what's coming down the road, you're going to miss it. You have it right here in front of you, but your eyes are going to be looking at other things, and you're going to miss one of the most crucial things that will ever happen in all of human history, because you've let other things come in and take control of your heart.
And I think it's not without notice that we find that Jesus says that all of these things are going to close on you like a trap.
Yeah.
Because if you think about traps, what do you use to get somebody in a trap?
Bait.
You use a bait. Yeah. And so all of these things, the anxieties of life, they're causing all these things and this drunkenness and all these things because of your striving after all of these other things that you shouldn't be striving for. These things are held before you like a bait, and they are a good bait. People go after them all the time. They seek them.
Definitely.
And so he says, be careful, because that's going to be a trap, for it will come upon all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Now, that's pretty interesting. It's not just talking about one group of people, not just the rich. It's talking about everybody that lives on the face of the earth. All people, all those who live on the face of the earth, there's always going to be a trap to pull you in.
Yep. I mean, the return of Christ is going to be evident to everybody. It's going to happen to everybody. And some people are going to be prepared for it. Some of them will not be prepared for
it. Yeah. So that's why he tells us to be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. So escaping really depends on what you do with Christ Jesus. That's really what it is. He makes a way of escape. He has provided, like you mentioned previously, provisions for our salvation. He's provided us in Christ Jesus. So he says, always watch and pray. Keep your eyes open, because the enemy's trying to trap you. Yeah. And he says, be careful about everything you do, because you need to be able to escape, and Jesus is the way of escape, because all these things are coming at us at once. They're going to flood into our consciousness. They're going to attract us into all kinds of behavior patterns that are not going to be beneficial to our salvation. And so he says, be careful that all these things, because you want to be able to stand before the Son of Man. You want to be able to say, I have believed in you, Lord, and I've accepted you into my life, and I'm standing firm on who you are.
That's such a beautiful passage of Scripture there, and one that, once again, kind of points to something that Bethany Assembly of God and the Assemblies of God believes in, is that the church, followers of Christ, are going to be raptured. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord, and we need to be ready for that moment. We need to be prepared for that moment and not trapped. Not trapped because of the worries and the cares and the frustrations of life or whatever, but ready. We need to be watching, looking for it, anxiously anticipating, praying, talking to God, the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart. Get ready. It's coming. Get ready. It's coming. And you can almost sense in your spirit when things in the spirit are happening. And he says, you can escape that. I just love that word, that you may be able to escape instead of being trapped. You know, I think about the war movies that I've seen, and, you know, trip lines, and some guys see it and some guys don't.
Right.
You know, some guys have the eyes to see it. They're watching and they understand the tricks of the enemy and the things that can harm you. And so we need to be like that so that we can stand before the Son. A great little passage of Scripture.
It's a great passage. You know, when you mentioned, you think about certain things when you read this. And when I read this, I think about a trap. I think about that the enemy wants to trap us. And then I think about people who actually trap animals. And if you trap an animal, some animals will actually chew off their hand so they can escape from the trap. And Jesus said, if your right hand offends you, cut it off.
I mean,
it's almost like the animal caught in a trap. You're better off escaping. Don't let anything in your life cause you to be caught in the trap and do anything you can to get out of it. And the best way to find your way out of a trap is to find the one who actually made the way for you to get out of the trap, and that's the name of Jesus. He's got a plan for you to get out of the trap, and it basically is repentance. Just repent. Ask God to forgive you, and whatever has put you in that trap, He will forgive you and get you out of it.
Yeah, there's so many people who do feel trapped, whether it's physically, maybe maybe there's people that are in jail that are listening to this radio broadcast. Maybe it's people emotionally feel trapped or mentally feel trapped. You just feel like you can't escape what life has brought you, and you're at this moment in life. Jesus is your way of escape. Jesus is able to help you through all those things.
Yeah, don't chew off your hand.
No.
Be careful. Be careful. Yeah. There is somebody trying to trap you. And remember, Jesus is the only way to open that trap and get out.
Amen.
Now here, Jesus, the next verse in verse number 37, Jesus, each day, Jesus was teaching at the temple. Each day and each evening he went out of the temple. So here is a faithful teacher. Every single day he's in the temple teaching, trying to help people to understand the kingdom of God. And he goes out at night and he spends the night on a hill called Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
So he's actually sleeping under the stars, isn't it?
Now, did you guys go to the Mount of Olives?
We did.
What was it like?
Oh, Mount of Olives is amazing because it overlooks Jerusalem and it overlooks the Temple Mount. Yeah. And it used to be filled with olive oils, but there are a couple places where there's still an olive grove, and we have devotionals inside the olive groves, and it's really quite beautiful. But on that particular mountain now, it has become a graveyard for the Jewish people, because Jesus is supposed to come back, the Messiah is supposed to come back and put his feet down on the Mount of Olives, and then those who are dead are going to rise.
Right.
So that's why they want the graveyards
there.
So they want to go first. So they have this graveyard. It's just filled with graveyards.
Yeah.
Of course, the Muslims across next to the mount, next to the mount, the Temple Mount, they have graveyards too, because they want to keep the Messiah from coming through.
Throwing through the Eastern Gate.
So it's kind of a graveyard
mountain. There's a little
mountain.
Bit of tension there.
So all the people came early in the morning to hear him at the temple. So Jesus is teaching all these wonderful parables that we're reading about, trying to warn people to escape.
Yeah.
And that's what he's doing today.
Great teacher.
Trying to warn people to escape from the wrath that's coming upon the earth.
Amen.
This is Pastor Adam and Pastor Reed. We hope that the Holy Spirit has helped you to understand how much God really loves you, that he wants you to escape. He doesn't want you to be trapped. Come join us at Bethany. Our services are at 9 and at 11 o'clock on Sunday and 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Love to have you. God bless you. Have a great day.